Random thought. Is it just me, or do you want to smack the phone out of people's hands who are FaceTiming without using a headset or talking on speakerphone? You know, like, I don't know why this is a thing. I was in CVS yesterday, and I guess this guy couldn't figure out which Mucinex he's supposed to buy. He's just standing there in front, and he starts, you know, he initiates the FaceTime. You know, you hear the dial.
Yep.
And it's just like ringing, 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 and the person didn't answer. Then he does it again. I'm like, God, how hard is it to pick out Mucinex? You know, what's the big deal? And then he does it again, and the person finally answers, and they're just having this conversation on speaker. And I'm like, why are we doing this? I've seen it a lot lately. I've seen it in the airports. Why is this a thing? And, you know, is it illegal to smack this phone out of someone's hands, you know, when you catch them doing it?
Okay, so three things here. One, on the Mucinex, you've got to understand when it comes down to allergy medicine or congestion medicine, there's a difference. Like, there's a difference between picking me up some Claritin and picking me up some Claritin D, okay? Because one's just going to be like, yeah, whatever, and the other one's actually going to do the job. Two, why do people do this? I have no idea, so we'll get back to that. But three, your third question, is it illegal? Yes. Do not do this. Do not smack it out of anybody's hands. Because, you know, phones aren't cheap these days. They're not like the old Motorola phones, which were like military grade and, you know, you could fold over backwards 14 times and still work. You know, these are like iPhones and Androids. And the minute they touch the ground, they shatter into a million pieces. And if not on the outside, at least on the inside. So they just never work. Or at least that's what Apple kind of tells me, because what happens is when a new phone comes out, all of a sudden my old one stops working, you know? I mean, but whatever, whatever. I'm just saying, don't smack the phone out of anybody's head. But I agree with you, man. I am so over people who do that, especially those who want to talk on speakerphone. Look, here's the thing. Either put the damn phone up to your ear, okay, which nobody wants to do anymore, because we finally realize, oh my God, there's some radioactivity here. I don't want this next to my brain. It's probably a little too late if you're on speakerphone with people anyway, because obviously you've been affected one way or another. But the other thing would be to make sure you have some friggin' headphones. They're really easy. You've got the AirPods. You've got the Apple ones, and I've got my Jabras, which I use. I have them somewhere around here. You've got the ones even with the wire. Which I love wearing those too, because it takes away the Bluetooth. Because again, the Bluetooth is, you put it in your ears, the same kind of concept as having the phone next to your ear. So whatever. But there are other options. And the main reason, nobody wants to hear your goddamn conversation.
Yes. Now, here's the thing. I've actually thought about this. And I said, okay, how is this different than two human beings standing next to me talking about Mucinex? You know, right. It's not. It's really not any different, so I shouldn't be this annoyed. But it just annoys the shit out of me to hear people doing it. Because then I want to jump into the conversation. You know, like, because I feel like you're inviting me into it by making me listen to this video call that you're having. I want to look, like, lean in and be like, you know, actually not that Mucinex. You should get the nighttime Mucinex, because when I had a cold, I did. Like, I feel like I should jump in to the conversation and join them because they invited me to it. You know, but it's so annoying. It's like loud talkers, you know, to me, it's no worse than loud talkers who are on the phone and just, you know, speaking very loudly for everybody to hear their conversation when they're around a crowd of people. It just frustrates me, but I'll try my best not to slap the phone out of someone's hand, but I may, you know, someone's going to video me and I'm going to go viral for knocking the phone out of someone's hand. So I'll just make sure it's. I can't make sure I do anything. It's just annoying. I'll try my best just to behave, but damn it. People, if you're listening to this, stop it. And if you hear anyone else doing it, tell them to stop it.
But don't smack the phone out of their hands.
It takes a village. I encourage someone else to smack the phone out of their hands, you know, and I'll deny that I told you to do it, or it's not my fault. If you listen to me and you did it and you go to jail, don't go to jail saying, hey, Terrell told me to do this, because I'm not going to help bail you out. But help spread the word and tell people to stop talking on speaker when they're on FaceTime or on the phone. Help us out.
And stop yelling walking down the street at somebody on the phone. First of all, they're not really listening at that point. They stop listening. Because if you start yelling at me, I stop listening. And I know this. So I'm telling you from experience, they're not listening. So stop yelling. And everybody else is just looking at you like you're crazy as shit. So stop it. Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having some crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people, and we've been having those conversations since college.
Yes, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, episode 30. Be sure to like, subscribe, and leave a comment.
Indeed. Hey, what made you smile this week, man?
You know, what made me smile this week, and this is going to sound small to some, but it's huge to me. I finally got my sofa. So when I bought my house, I closed like on January 28th. Mm-hmm. February 3rd, I knew I had to buy all this like living room furniture and, you know, dining room furniture. And so I go to furniture store, pick everything I wanted. And that was on February 3rd. And then everything got delivered the week after the snowpocalypse, you know, in Texas, except for the sofa. That was on back order. And I just got it yesterday. So literally 2 months and already made two payments on it. That's what pissed me off. But been making payments on it. But I finally got my sofa. So the last piece of furniture that I needed to complete my living room is done. It's very comfortable. I'm happy now. Now I can like actually plan to invite people over. Now that I'm vaccinated, most of my friends are vaccinated, I can have a little get together now and people have a place to sit downstairs. So it made me happy as hell to finally get that delivered.
First of all, you're paying on a couch you didn't have.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I mean, yes. I guess isn't, you can't not pay it. It's on the way. It's on back order, whatever. You're going to have to pay it. So I get it. It just feels ridiculous that you're paying for something you haven't even gotten yet. Right.
Same thing I said.
I will wait to make the first payment when my sofa arrives. But the fact that you're now going to just invite people over now that you've got the sofa, like that was the one thing stopping you from inviting people over, obviously.
It was, because I wanted to have some, you know, comfortable chair space, not just sit at the dining room table, but now we can sit on the sofa in the living room area and lounge like adults. So, yes, that was the one thing that was stopping me from inviting, you know, people over.
Or you make them stand so they don't stay very long.
Well, I happen to like my friends, so if they do come, I want them to stay as long as they want to. Now, you might have different relationships with some of your friends, and you know that's something you got to look inside yourself and talk about.
Nope, there's nothing to look inside, nothing to talk about. That's just me. I don't have many people over, but my wife does, so that's a different story. So it's like, all right, cool, well, you know, but she's the friendly one. I'm not. I know that. It's fine.
All right, so when I come to visit you, I'll know to not expect to stay long, and I won't sit down. I won't even ask for a glass of water. I'll just be like, hey, how's it going, man? Good to see you.
There's water in the pipe.
What made you smile this week?
Well, it's funny because it's actually around the same thing as you, which is a piece of furniture. This is not as permanent a piece of furniture as yours. As you can see, I'm in the FBI safe house right here. if you follow me on social at Yanni Rude everywhere, then you've seen that I have accepted a new job. I am in the process of moving, and that's why I'm in this FBI safe house and this empty room, except for this one little color right here. I think you can see it on the side right here. And that's actually, oh, wait, let me move this out of the way. this is actually the air mattress. And I was just so happy when it finally came. Because, look, you stay in hotels, I've stayed in hotels, but who wants to stay in hotels for these extended periods, right? You really don't want to stay in a hotel a week at a time. And, you know, I stayed in a hotel for 2.5 weeks. And I came back and I was like, ah, crap. And I saw that 2 more nights. And I was like, you know what? I found my place. Let me just go into my place. But I needed the air mattress. And so my wife finally sent the air mattress, got it down here. The first day that it was supposed to be delivered, they needed me to sign for it. I'm like, why? Leave the damn thing at the door. Nobody's going to pick it up. But anyway, I had to re-divert it because I'm like, I'm not going to be here when you come deliver it again tomorrow. And I don't want you to resend it somewhere else. So drop it off at the UPS store. I'll pick it up. You know, paid the extra $8. Got it. But I was so happy when I got it. Inflated it, laid on it, went straight to sleep. I'm not the person that sleeps during the day. And as soon as I got this and I inflated it, I went straight to sleep. And right now, as you can see, there's absolutely no furniture in the house until I get it next week. So I'm sitting on the one piece of furniture I have in here, which is making me smile because I actually have it, the air mattress, while gazing out the window doing this podcast.
I was thinking you're sitting on the floor, you know, like a kid, you know, crisscross applesauce style, you know, using your laptop, but you're actually sitting on the air mattress, huh?
Oh, yeah. See, so here's the thing. And you should, well, you're a little more fit than I am right now because you've actually been working out. You did a 3-mile run before before the podcast today, but then, you know, took a shower, I'm assuming, and got dressed and decided to do the podcast. Right. Yeah, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Still in my workout clothes, basking in the glow.
Oh, basking in the funk. I got you. In the meantime, I read your post about you running 3 miles and I got tired and laid down for 30 minutes before we started. So me sitting, you know, yoga style would probably be detrimental. We'd be like, all right, hold up. I got a cramp. Hold up. We'd be stopping and starting this podcast over and over again. So that's why I'm seated here at least somewhat. Hopefully my back doesn't give out sitting up like this for too long. So.
Well, I'm glad you got the air mattress. Air mattress can actually be comfortable in. Is it one of the ones that you just kind of plug it in, press a button, and it kind of blows up itself?
Yeah, and here's the thing, because I actually have two like that, right? Mm-hmm. Because when I had a family coming in 2019 for Thanksgiving, I wanted to make sure I had enough for them. This one is a little better, right? Because it's got a built-in elevated pillow style thing at the top. Mm-hmm. So it's not just flat all the way around. I'm like, this one's got a spoiler.
Yeah.
It's got a sunroof. This one came with some options.
Yeah. I think I have that exact same. Is it a queen?
Yep.
Yep. I think I have that exact same one because mine does that. And I plan to have my parents come up, but I'm going to have to get them a hotel because, you know, they can't get down to that level.
Can't. They just won't be able to get back up. So
yeah. So I'm gonna have to get them a hotel, but it is very nice and comfortable. So I'm prepared. If any of my friends come over and they want to crash, they got a space.
Yep.
It's not just giving them a blanket, let them sleep on the floor or on the couch. They actually have a comfortable spot until I eventually buy some bedroom furniture. But those air mattresses are really nice. I like them.
I'm about to say, take your time on the bedroom furniture. Use the air mattress because you know what? Then you're able to just. Put it up, put it in the closet, and you've got space. So take mm-hmm. your time with it. And you know, by the way, I'm glad you're going to get your parents to the hotel and not make them sleep on the queen and go, oh, you can't get up? That's for not letting me go out.
Remember those times?
I told you payback was coming.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Like, I feel weird because I have friends that have said that their parents came to visit and let them sleep in their own bed. I'm like, I can't have my parents sleeping in my bed because I do things in my bed that I don't. It's just weird. It's just weird. Now, as a kid, you would jump in your parents' bed, no problem. As an adult, I'm like, no, I'm good. I'll sleep on the couch. But
I'll
I don't
curl
want
up next
them
to
in
the
my
dog.
Bed.
I'm okay.
I don't want them in my bed. I'm like, mm-mm. No. No.
Hey, thanks for checking us out, man. If you like what you're hearing, do us a favor, rate the podcast and leave a review. We'd really appreciate it. And while you're at it, head over to YouTube, find us, search RGRT Pod, and be sure to hit the subscribe button. We have full episodes, episode clips, and we're bringing back some bonus clips. So make sure you go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Remember, search RGRT Pod on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, and hit the bell for notifications too. Thanks in advance. Now back to the show.
So in politics as usual, I want to talk about John Boehner, who used to be the GOP House Speaker. And his new book came out on the House. It's a Washington memoir. But I want to read a quote from that. By 2013, the Chaos Caucus in the House had built up their own power base thanks to fawning right-wing media and outrage-driven fundraising cash. And now they had a new head lunatic leading the way, who wasn't even a House member. There is nothing more dangerous than a reckless asshole who thinks he is smarter than everyone else. Ladies and gentlemen, meet Senator Ted Cruz.
Oh,
and
so they knew.
It's yes. And so I love this because, you know, you always like, I truly believe it's like a reference check, right? When people who have worked with you say mm-hmm. certain things about you, you got to kind of believe some of it. And this isn't the first time that Boehner, you know, has talked bad about Ted Cruz. But in February, he was getting interviewed about his book and went off script in the recording. And when discussing Cruz, adding, and Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself. So I think John Boehner feels the same way I feel about Ted Cruz, who chose to lie about why he went to Cancun. And again, go to Cancun if you can. No big issue there. But you chose to lie about it. Then you come back and try to take these fake photo ops of putting water in people's cars and all that stuff. Ted Cruz is just a turd, and we need to vote him out. Every week, vote him out.
Again, and every week I'm going to tell you that Texas is going to vote him back in because that's what they do. I mean, John Boehner is a perfect example of this. While he was in, while he was Speaker of the House and he was in Congress, he was right behind every Republican thing and, you know, totally trying to bash anything that President Obama did, right? But at the same time, now he gets out and all of a sudden, you know, of course, marijuana is bad when he's in office. As soon as he gets out, he becomes a cannabis pitchman, you know, and now he's pitching for it and he's, yes, get behind it. And then, you know, because there's money there. After backing all these laws that disproportionately affected black and brown people when it came down to marijuana, because orange people weren't affected, so he was fine, you know, and that's a protected class. Him and Trump are the two orange people that we know of. But Boehner is the perfect example of what it is. I like the fact that he's said the shit he said about Ted Cruz, but that's nothing new. Republicans don't like Ted Cruz. Democrats don't like Ted Cruz. Matter of fact, Ted Cruz family probably doesn't like Ted Cruz right now. and rightfully so. They're probably the ones that more so should not like him since he threw his daughters onto the bus. But regardless, great to hear that from John Boehner and hitting that F you to Ted Cruz. But I want to take that with a grain of salt. That's like if Paul Ryan comes out and says, you know what, Donald Trump is crazy. I'm like, you jackass, you were there through all of this anyway. So stop it. So that the same thing with Mitch McConnell, you know, and then what'd he do? He turned face and did exactly what he knew he was going to do. So, yeah.
Well, I get it. You know, we all know part of being a politician is lying.
Yeah.
Right. And I get that. But there's certain times you just can't take that lie from somebody. Right. You just got to hold them accountable. And this is one of those times. And I appreciate that Boehner is being as blunt as he can, because in his role, he couldn't say that. He couldn't say, hey, Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself, when he was the House Speaker. You know, he might have felt it, but he couldn't say it. His base at that time wouldn't have supported marijuana, but now he's out. He could probably invest in it, and so he's making some money on it. So, of course, he's all for it. But still, Ted Cruz is just a liar. He's an opportunist, and we need to vote him out. Come on, Texas. Yep.
Texas, I hope you do it, but I have zero to little faith that they will. So I applaud your efforts again. I keep saying this every week. I applaud your efforts. I think it's great. I just don't think it's going to happen. You know, when you talk about, and I just sent you this one right before the podcast, which is somebody else who's apparently trying to get in the Ted Cruz lane of things. Governor Mike Huckabee. Former Governor Mike Huckabee. And he decided to tweet, I've decided to identify as Chinese. Coke will like me. Delta will agree with me, with my values. And I'll probably get those shoes from Nike and tickets to MLB games. Ain't America great? And you just go like, how tone deaf do you have to be? I mean, but, you know, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Mike Huckabee's daughter, I guess you can see where a lot of this, she gets that from, right? What I love, though, was the replies to it, like somebody who said, what in the openly racist hell? Oh, this guy, Jay Carrington, who said, I've decided to identify as white. Corporations will hire me. Retailers won't think I'm trying to steal. Banks will lend me money. Police won't kill me even if I'm armed. Media will present me positively. I'll be given respect even if I don't have any money. And I was like, that's a great response to it, you know? And then even Ted Lieu, who's in Congress from California, he said, hey, Mike Huckabee, I asked around and Coke likes me. Delta agrees with my values. I wear Nikes and my hometown Dodgers won the World Series. But it's not because of my ethnicity. It's because I'm not a shithead like you who's adding fuel to anti-Asian hate.
Oh, yeah, man. It's hilarious, right? Because I used to only... It's easy to think that some of these comments from older white men would be expected, right? Mm-hmm. Because they grew up in a different era. And so I could see why some of them might do that. But the sad truth is that there are people who share the same viewpoint that Mike Huckabee shares that are in their 20s, you know, that are in their 30s. And it just blows my mind how, as you said, it tone deaf that they can be. And it's just stupid. It's the most stupidest thing I've ever... No, it's not the most stupid. It's just stupid. But again, what do you expect from Mike Huckabee? You know, yeah. He's being the person that he is. So he's not doing anything different. I don't expect him to be somebody that speaks out on equality and trying to unite people, because that's just not what he does.
Right. No, very true. Now, there was a big incident happened right at the end of the week here at the Capitol. Get us caught up on that.
Yeah, so at the Capitol, a guy, and I think they're still in investigation. They haven't figured out the why. But apparently, this guy drives up, and I don't want to say his name because I don't think he needs to get any type of recognition. But he drives up and plows through a barrier and hits a couple police officers, gets out of his car, yielding a knife. And then, of course, they shoot him and, you know, kill him.
What color was he?
Black.
Of course.
So, yeah.
That was a trick question. That was a trick question. When men said they killed him, he had a knife and they killed him. I knew what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because he's, you know, 25, you know, so you think he has his life in front of him, right? I remember when I was 25. You know, 21 years ago, right? You got the life, your life in front of you. And apparently he was a huge follower of Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam. And, you know, allegedly posted all these different Facebook stories. So, of course, people are going to try to liken the two and say now we should cancel, you know, Farrakhan and cancel the Nation of Islam and all that because of this one nut job, which is, to me, no different than, let's say, a Christian nut job that goes into a church and shoots up, you know, a bunch of black people in it that still doesn't get shot. But it blows my mind how this dude, now he did go after police with a knife, right? So I would say in most cases, cops would shoot him. So I don't want to just make the accusation that because he's black, that's why he got shot. It's easy to do that. But if you are going after police officers, after you just hit them with the car, and then going after another police officer with a knife, odds are, no matter what race you are, you're going to get shot.
I'm sorry to say, I don't agree. I've seen the video of a guy running out of a store with a cop chasing him. The cop pulls his gun. He's chasing him. The guy turns, is running away, pulls out a gun, fires at the cop, right? Can't shoot for shit, obviously, because he misses him completely. The cop puts his gun away, pulls out his taser, and takes him down. So can you guess what race that guy was?
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Yeah, I exactly. Know. So, and here's the thing. You've got, this guy had a knife. Now, granted, he had a car, but he was out of the car. So he no longer had the car as a weapon. He had the knife as a weapon, right? But yet, here in Atlanta, there was a guy with an AR-15 killing people.
Mm-hmm.
He's alive. Still. He's alive. Yeah. They took him alive. Do I need to tell you what race he was? No. So when it comes down to, why it's always got to be about race? The facts, you want to talk about facts, not feelings? Fuck your feelings. How about these facts? Those people that show up alive, they're white. Mm-hmm. The people that are dead for bullshit are black. That's your facts. Fuck your feelings. They're your facts. Since y'all want to go with that route, snowflakes.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's as I pay attention to a lot more things that happen in the news, I'm trying to be more open-minded and try to look at both sides, because I think if that's the problem with the hardcore left and the hardcore right, you know, they just go straight at it because of how it makes them feel. Now I do applaud law enforcement, and definitely condolences go out to the officer that was killed and to his family. He'd been with the Capitol Police for like 18 years. You would never think would happen at the Capitol, right? If you're a beat cop or you're on the street, you know, the odds of you getting shot are a lot higher. You wouldn't think this would happen at the Capitol. So it's crazy. The other thing is, I wonder, would he have gotten shot if there wasn't the insurrection that happened at the Capitol January 6th? You know, would he have still been shot? I don't know, right? But again, I think these law enforcement folks, it's really crazy, because you want to, there are times there are bad cops, right? There are some bad cops out there. You know, you got one on trial right now for George Floyd. There are some bad cops out there, but there are a lot of good ones. So I think I want to say in my heart, these are some of the good ones here that just happened to be in the path of this nut job who tried to drive up to the Capitol, and he got shot. Now, I don't know the race of the cop that shot him, because then the cop was white,
and I will say this: he should
the one that shot him or the one that died, because the one that died was white.
I'm gonna say the one that died was white. And here's the difference: it doesn't matter the race of the cop. It's never been about the race of the cop. And I'm glad you brought that up, because people like to go, when it's a black cop that shoots a black man, oh well, see, it couldn't have been about race. We're not talking about the race of the cop. You're talking about the race of the person that was shot, and that's the difference, because there are black cops who are just as racist to black people as any white cop or any Asian cop or any Hispanic cop. It doesn't matter. It's the blue line, and then the people. And that's the problem. Now, I will say this: that man needs to definitely rot in jail for what he did, and killing that police officer. One thing I will say too, that I think the media has put out there, which is really weird, that they just throw out the whole Nation of Islam immediately. Oh well, that's what he was. So even though they go, we don't know the reason, but you know, he did follow the Nation of Islam. I'm like, okay, so here goes that media bias that you're going to go and twist and spin with. But the guy with the AR-15, what was he? Was he part of the Roman Catholic Church? Is that what it was? You know, what was it? Because then there's nothing there about that. So I really question the motives of this information coming out, and I just feel like that was really unnecessary. Let's find out what the reason was. And let's go from there. Like even with Dylann Roof, they knew what the reason was, because he had said before what he wanted to do. He said, "I want to start a race war with this." So they waited till they found that, because they didn't want to attribute it at first to the Confederate flag, to his racism, because of course he worshipped with black people. No, he didn't. He was setting them up. Okay.
Yes.
So, which you found out later, and that's when all of that came out. So if that's the case, do the same thing here, and don't just throw that out there so people just go, see, now you've got anti-Asian, you've got the Asian hate that's happening now. What do you think is going to happen? Because people are not going to be able to differentiate the two between the Nation of Islam and Islam, and Islam as a whole, as a matter of fact, because that's, Islam is no more a violent religion than Christianity. And there were a lot of people that died in the name of Christianity. Just look to the indigenous people of these very Americas that we live in right now. All right, let me get off my soapbox.
No, but I think you're that's the other interesting thing about this is the media spin. And we always talk about it. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be a spin on it. And I find it fascinating how quickly they're able to go search through someone's Facebook and pull up stuff. Because I'm curious, like, if I did some crazy shit and they go through my Facebook, like, what are they going to really see?
You know what they're going to see. Don't even sunrise. Ask that. You already know what they're going to see. They're going to see
the podcast.
They're going to see your late night bourbon induced rants and deleting of people.
But that's been like a year since I did that.
Okay,
I think there's growth. There's growth.
No, you're a black man. That's exactly how you are for the rest of your goddamn life.
Yeah, there's growth. There's certain friends that I realize I don't need to have anymore, based on their views or lack of acceptance of racism and things that might impact me. And so I was like, you know what? We don't need to be friends. So that was a purge. And I think that was healthy to do. So if the media thinks that's crazy of me, well, call me crazy. But every now and then, I like to purge people that I think are racist that are in my Facebook groups. That I'm like, we don't need to be friends anymore.
So. I just wonder how y'all became friends in the first place.
Yeah, hey, well, you know.
Let me tell you a joke I learned from my pappy.
Yeah. Terrell, I got this good black joke. Unfriend. Nope, don't need to hear it. Unfriend.
Oh my God. Speaking of people who need to unfriend, or should have unfriended a long time ago, as we get into For the Love of Sports. Your guy, Deshaun Watson, did I read correctly that he's suspended indefinitely right now?
I don't know. I know there is the new thing that came up is now HPD has an investigation going on. So there's been something else that came up that somebody actually took to the police. So this will be interesting, because this will be the first time they're getting like the name of the accuser. Excuse me. First time they're getting the name of the accuser and all that fun stuff. So curious to see where this is going to go. So he has 21 people in the civil suit. And then now there's this issue. Now, his lawyer this week presented 18, I like saying this, masseuses.
Masseuse.
Why can't the plural of masseuses be masseuse? But
like mouse and mice.
Yeah, yeah. So Deshaun's lawyer presented 18 masseuses. That I think it's just funny. But 18 other massage therapists who have worked on him and claim that he's been a professional, there hasn't been any issue, and all that stuff. So I don't know where the story is going to go, but it's getting pretty crazy. Now, I would hope that Deshaun didn't do these things, but you got to listen to the women. Now, I have some questions. It's why do you not, there's 21 accusing you, and the your lawyer found 18 people who think you're dope. So that means you've had 39 different massage therapists to work on you. Like, do you really need that many? I find that weird.
The man is an NFL player. He performs at a high physical level. I'm sure the amount of work a massage therapist has to put in to revive his muscles, that they need at least 39 weeks off before they can get back into rotation.
Okay, let's take that logic. So when Dale Earnhardt was racing, he had a certain group of people that would work on his car because it needed to perform at a certain level. He just didn't have different groups every week working on his car. He had the same people. So if you're this athlete and you need to make sure that your glutes are always stretched and relaxed, wouldn't you get one or two people who you know are good at it than to just randomly go on Instagram and hit people up to work on your muscles that you need to perform at a high level?
I'm still a little wary of these 21 women, right? They're finally going to get one name. But here's the thing about it that I'm really wary about. None of these are criminal cases. They're all civil suits. These all popped up. It's just very weird, the timing of all of this. The minute he says, I'm not going, and there are other teams, there are teams that were actively calling the Houston Texans trying to trade for him. And they go, we're not trading. He goes, I'm not playing. And they go, oh, really? We've got 21 women right here who say that you will. I just find it, the timing, really weird. Now, you might be right. It may be his kink. It may be something, and there may be something here. There's smoke there, so there's probably a flame somewhere in there. And the flame may be 5, which is 6 too many, okay? And maybe it's not really 21, but even if it's 5, like I just said, it's 6 too many, and there's a problem. But at the same time, I just find it really weird that all of a sudden, this just pops up.
Well, it is weird, right? But regardless of the timing, if any of this is true, that's the problem, right? And it is a little suspect that you would have these random people that you're reaching out to on Instagram. Like, I just don't understand that thought process. Like, to me, that's just dumb. You know, you're a star, star quarterback. You have the money. You have a person that makes appointments for you. Have them book you a glute massage. And if you need a glute massage that ends with a happy ending, make sure you discuss that up front. And you have text that says, hey, I also like the happy ending. You good? And they say yes. Great. Now it's consensual and there's no issue. But
are you getting just the glute massage, sir? Or are you getting the glutes with the fireworks?
Do you want the extra? Do you want the special? Do you want to just get to the red zone or do you want to score? What do you want?
Oh my God.
I'm just saying. You want a first down or you got to kick it? What do you want to do? But, you know, I think that he has people that can do this for him. Mm-hmm. So it, to me, it just puts him in a bad light that there are digital messages that he is sending from his Instagram, DMing these random people to work on his glutes. And some of them aren't even, I don't even think all of them are massage therapists. You have that one who had never given a massage before. Then I'm like, why are you offering to do a massage then if you've never given a massage before? That's weird. That makes no sense. But doesn't give him a right to, you know, finish the job himself in front of her because that's inappropriate. So it's just weird. It's a whole weird deal. It's a weird deal. Don't know what's going to happen. I'm just keeping a close eye on it. I'm sure this is not the last time that we're going to talk about it, but any people out there who are, when you get famous, like, don't do stupid shit like this. You have a person that can do it for you. I just don't understand.
Yeah. And, well, you know, and who knows, maybe he did and there were NDAs and they're just going, you know, like people are doing nowadays, fuck the NDA, let me get some more money. So it could be that. But, you know, who should have really had an NDA was probably Kevin Durant. And these text messages and direct messages that he's been sending to Michael Rapaport, who leaked them. And I saw this and I was like, well, what the heck's going on? First of all, Michael Rapaport is supposed to be, you know, he's always been down after Higher Learning, of course, because we all hated him after Higher Learning. but he's been down for the cause for a while. And what happened in this thing here with them?
So they had some type of, you know, Michael Rapaport talks shit. And I guess he's been having these back and forth multiple time conversations with Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant, you know, said some, you know, anti-Semitic, misogynistic, homophobic things, talking shit to him. And I think it was not that Kevin feels that way. I mean, I can't speak for him, but I would just assume it's just trash talking, right? And Michael Rapaport leaked it. Now, even Michael Rapaport said this has gotten out of hand. And the fact that it got leaked, the NBA fined Kevin Durant $50,000.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's nothing. That's pocket change for him.
True, but it's something, right? Mm-hmm. So Kevin Durant's apologized, you know, to the fans, apologized to Michael Rapaport directly. But I like something that Michael Rapaport said, because he was on ESPN talking about this whole deal. And he said the funny thing is he actually had reached out to me about doing something that I'll call on social media the shame game, you know, where they kind of call out people who are talking trash on social media and try to get them to do it in person. And that's how they first connected. But he said, it's not the first time I posted people's direct messages. It's funny when people are saying anti-Semitic things about me, saying racist things about me, threatening me, and they are Joe Schmoes. Everybody loves it. But when it was Durant, people have 400 opinions. I'm a rat. He's like, fuck all that shit. And I get it. You know, it doesn't matter who it is. Those things are wrong. You shouldn't be saying that. But again, you're Kevin Durant. Why are you entertaining this? And the whole thing started with Michael Rapaport saying that Kevin Durant's too sensitive. And I'm like, look what it did. Yeah. You know, you taught me when we first started doing this podcast, because my concern was like, what if somebody comments and says something that I don't like, or they don't like the show and they're talking trash? You were like, that's great when they do that, but don't respond. You know, let it alone. And I'm like, Kevin, you got way too many other people. You know, why are you entertaining this? Let it go. People gonna talk trash to you all day long. I went to, when Kevin played for the Thunder, I was in Oklahoma City doing some recruiting and got tickets to a game, like front row tickets. And Kevin Durant is shooting free throws after he got fouled. And people that are from Oklahoma were talking trash to him because he played at Texas, because the OU Texas rivalry. But I'm like, he's playing for your team. So you've heard worse in person. Why are you letting something that Michael Rapaport does in a tweet piss you off? And look what happened. You know, it cost you $50,000.
Some people can't let go of the tweets. I remember interviewing Cardi B early on, right before Bodak Yellow blew up. And and I know, one of your favorite rappers of all time. But even the same
She's
thing,
an amazing woman. Whatever. Well, I'm sorry. You just can't call someone an amazing woman who admits to stealing money from guys and drugging
you
them.
You called her the amazing woman. So, I didn't.
No. I was making fun of people who think that she's amazing. I'm like, I'm sorry. You can't call her amazing because she actually drugged dudes and took their money when they thought they were going to hook up with her. And she openly said it, and everybody thinks she's awesome. So for those that wonder why I don't like Cardi B, it's because of that. So she was pulling Bill Cosby's a long time, and no one said a big deal to her. But you let a man do it, it's a problem. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go on that rant.
I'm about to say, are you done? Are you done, Kevin?
Well, I had somebody this week ask me, like, hey, I was listening to your podcast. Why do you hate Cardi B? And I'm like, oh, well, I should probably explain again why I don't like Cardi B. Her music is good, but I think what she did as a person is bad. But yet we overlook it because she's a female. And I think that's a double standard. But go ahead.
Are you sure you're done now? Or would you like to get it out one more time?
I'm sorry. End scene.
Are you sure? I just want to make sure you're fine.
Done. All right. Sorry.
So I can kick the box out of the way so you can get off of your soapbox, right?
So I'm still amped up on pre-workout. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Maybe it's time for you to go do another 3 miles. But the point that she was trying to make was like, she can't ignore those things. Like, people say something, and that's one thing she's always done. People say stuff about her, she'll respond to them immediately. Kevin Durant is one of those people. He's always had these burner accounts where he'll defend himself as somebody else, which is crazy. But, I mean, you can't ask them to just ignore that, because they get it on so many levels, right? I still think that, yeah, he shouldn't have... Kevin Durant, you should know better. You're in the spotlight. Mm-hmm. And you should know better than to send actual evidence of saying stuff like that. You've got to always... We talk about the hot mic. You've always got to think the mic is hot. You've always got to be aware that somebody's always recording, or they've got a text message or DM of you saying something crazy. You've got to be aware of that. And that's where he messed up. I will say this, though. Michael Rapaport shouldn't have released it. He knew... And he even said, yeah, he caught me on a bad day. And I was just mad that day, and I released it. Because he knew he shouldn't have done it. That's why he's apologizing for that, because it's different when you do it for Joe Schmo. But when you do it for Kevin Durant, there's a whole lot of money that's going to be messed up there, because now you could affect his endorsements. Everything else is there. And even Kevin Durant, who tried to laugh it off and say, oh, well, you know, we've said worse to each other than this. He must be having a bad day. It's like, yeah, that doesn't make it any better.
Yeah,
that doesn't make it. That did not clear it up, and that did not make it any easier. So, you know, I do think you're right. He is extremely sensitive. He proved Rapoport's point, which is you're a little sensitive. You're a little Charmin right there, sir. Go ahead, say something about us. We need a pub.
Yeah, soft. No, I agree. I think Michael Rapoport shouldn't have released it. Because I think he would understand how this could negatively impact him. Kevin shouldn't have said it either. Mm-hmm. You know, so why are you putting some out there that it's visible? Again, you're doing it. It you're going to get caught. People are following you. People are following him. Someone's going to see this stuff. So let it go.
They're both
pick up
wrong.
The phone and
They're
call him directly wrong. And cuss him out. Yeah. I mean, pick up the phone, call him directly and talk trash. But
and
why are you going
to
do
hang
all
up
that?
Before he gets a chance to record it. Start
recording. See? Carrier pigeons. Game of Thrones style. I'd send them a note.
That's evidence again, though. That's actually written evidence in your
hand. No, but you got to use code names. Just say, the North remembers. Winter is coming.
Oh, man. Look, so much stuff in this bullshit this week, man. And I know this one had to hit you close to home, because there's a story that popped up at the end of last week. End of last week, that says there was a giant party. Because I know you don't like to go eating with big groups of people anyway, right? Mm-hmm. And this group was of 25 people. They brought the check out, one big check, and they're like, no, we need 25 separate checks. So seeing that I've never worked in the restaurant industry, first of all, what's wrong with that?
So there's more to the story. So, and as soon as I
had
saw
I worked
the first
in the industry,
part,
I would have known.
Because again, I went into this story like open-minded, curious.
No,
I didn't want to make any assumptions because it was in
Lies.
You know, Atlanta, you know, in Buckhead. So I didn't want to make any assumptions. But as soon as I saw that this was a birthday Jesus. Party for somebody named Quandrisha, I was like, there it is. So they.
Why do you hate your people so much?
I don't. I just hate names like that. I'm like Quandrisha, but whatever. But, I mean, tell me when I come across Senator Quandrisha, I'll change how I feel about that name. But so Quandrisha's sister called the restaurant to make this reservation. So for 25 people. Asked about the pay situation, and apparently the restaurant had a contract or an agreement that said that the host would get the bill. So what the sister was trying to do is have everybody send Cash App to her so that way she could pay the check, which right there, that's already a mistake. You don't do that. You know, so people got to the restaurant, and as the bill, before the bill came, some people didn't have Cash App. And there was no ATM in the restaurant. So they had to like walk to go to the hotel next door, hit the ATM, try to get cash. Now, here's the problem. The party was supposed to be for 25 people. Mm-hmm. 52 showed up.
Oh.
So people brought a bunch of people with them. And it was a lot of the extras were the ones that didn't want to pay. And so when they went to the ATM to go get cash, they bounced. They left. Oh. And so the host got stuck with the bill. And so as that happened, you know, the police were called because they had noticed people were leaving, not paying the check. But again, the agreement was for 25 people, an additional 27 showed up. So that's the problem. Mm. If you're going to have a reservation, you need to stick to the amount of people that you said. Of course, the restaurant expects and usually are prepared to have, you know, plus two or maybe minus two. But 27 extra people, because all of them couldn't sit together.
That was plus one for each person.
So, and then
isn't that how it works at weddings? It doesn't work at birthdays.
She was complaining about how the food took long, and I'm like, well, for a party of 50, when they're expecting 25, yes, the food is going to take long. It's not McDonald's, you know. And I looked at the restaurant's menu. It looks like a really nice Louisiana bistro. I mean, a really good food picture. So it's not like it's an Applebee's or something. So these people are wrong in my book. The restaurant was correct in the way they handled it. And this is why you shouldn't have large groups of people go out to the restaurant. And if you're going to set up a party, pay for yourself and have it. There's a better way to do it. They could have did separate checks with credit cards. You know, that's possible. It's a pain, but I'm sure the restaurant would have obliged if they had to do that. But also, you brought 27 extra people that wasn't in the original agreement. So I think
I hate big groups, and I know you do too, eating with big groups of people, just because it usually turns into just ratchetry after a while, right? You know, now if you're doing it, you reserve the entire restaurant, then that's a different story. Right. In that case, that's a different story. But I've been in groups where it's like been about 10 people. And when you do it that route and you have one or two people who like, here we go. And let's split a check between these two cars or these three cars. And that's it. Or if you know, it's just you and a couple other people are going out, then you, yeah, my check, yeah. You know, but yeah, just even if I didn't know it was 52. And even if it was just at 25, that's still a lot of people. I'm like you. I'm not going out to eat with that many people because I don't need any one of y'all motherfuckers saying something stupid to the damn server. And then all of a sudden, now I got to check my food for extra sauce.
Well, I mean, I've done this before where I had some friends in Austin. We would do this thing called man dinner. And it would just be a group of guys. We'd all go to a whatever restaurant. Everybody orders whatever they want. And then the check gets broken up evenly on everybody's credit card. And so we went to Trulux and in downtown Austin. Trulux, really nice restaurant, seafood. I mean, we ate like kings. And it was 16 of us. And so when the bill came, we just said, hey, here's our credit card. Just divide it evenly amongst everybody. And it was easy for the server because then they just figure out, divide that by 16, whatever the total was. My tab was like $300, you know, but everybody paid and you didn't have to deal with that person. It's like, wait a minute. I didn't have the nachos. Oh, yeah. I had this, you know what I mean? I'm like, I just can't stand that. So that's a big reason I don't eat in groups unless it's that type of group where everybody has the understanding. We're going to split this evenly. But this whole thing went south real quick. And again, I don't blame the restaurant at all. I blame the people. You know, it's their fault the way this was set up. You shouldn't allow people to bring extras. You know, that's just crazy. You know, you're throwing a birthday party for your sister. Now your sister had to pay some out of her pocket because you were getting stuck with a huge bill. Yeah. Because the friends that you had brought extra people that didn't want to pay.
The thing about doing these big groups, it should be established ahead of time who's doing what, right? Whenever I've been in the bigger groups, it's been because it's already been established who's paying for it. Now, we have pranked the server before where somebody, what? Don't roll your eyes. Stop it. One of the guys in the group gave them the card, right? And the server goes and he's back there and he's gone for a while. Then he comes back and as he's coming out, he's just shaking his head like, you got me. And he's like, we all start laughing. Everybody at the table is busted out laughing because he goes back there. He's swiping the credit card and it won't read. It won't read. It won't read. He's like, he tells you like, I'm like, oh shit, it's, what's going to happen? And he tries it again. And he looks down at the card and it says, African Express instead of American Express. And he goes, oh, damn it. They got me. It was just it was a prank. So he was a good sport about it. So see, it wasn't as bad as you were trying to make it. But then, of course, the real card came out. One person paid for the whole thing and it was done. But again, it's you, as long as it's established ahead of time, you just got to make sure that's established. Separate checks or one person's taking care of it or just a couple people taking care of it, splitting it. Like your exuberant Diddy style man dinner y'all do.
Hey, I'm a bougie bitch. That's just how we roll. But here's why I was shaking my head at that whole prank deal. So this poor server is trying to get this credit card done. Now, while he's doing that, he can't take care of the other people who need a water, a refill, ranch dressing. And those people are going to be thinking like you, like, this person's giving me shitty service. And they're going to, you know, minimize the tip because y'all are being jackasses. That's the problem I have with that. Because then somebody like you who will call it shitty service when this person got pranked and they're trying. Because trying to close out a bunch of people, because you haven't worked in the restaurant industry, you wouldn't get it. And so that's why I'm like, go back to that a few episodes ago when I'm like, never worked in a restaurant, you wouldn't understand.
Yes, and I'm proud to have never worked in a restaurant. It's okay.
Any of my restaurant people listening, comment, CJ, I know you're out there. Oh, I'd love to hear what you think about this type of stuff. Been in the restaurant industry for a long time. Love to hear your feedback, CJ, so give us a shout out.
You know what? You call yourself a bad bitch, I call you a whiny bitch.
I didn't say I was bad, I said bougie.
Oh, whatever.
That's different. That's if I ever call myself a bad bitch, that's weird.
You're right. You did say bougie. My bad. Yeah. Yo.
I want to try that. Look at myself in the mirror. Be like, I'm a bad bitch.
My bad. My bad.
Oh, goodness. Maybe that'll be the name of this one. I'm a bad bitch.
That's the name of the podcast. You know, so something else that popped up was this. I saw this story and I'm like, oh my God. This would never happen at Chick-fil-A. This woman opens fire on Burger King employees because they were taking too long to give her order. So she literally climbed up in the window and started shooting at the employees.
Mm-hmm.
How bad and how hungry do you have to be to do some shit like this?
Have you had the Impossible Whopper, sir? Like, no. Try one. You'll want it. This was crazy. Now, when I saw the story, I was like, okay, this is odd. And you know how when you look at an article, it kind of puts the location? It said Memphis, Tennessee. I'm like, okay, that explained it. Because I lived in Memphis. And so I saw the area where this happened. I'm like, yeah, that's Burger King kind of in the hood. That's not your regular Burger King. But I don't know what possessed this woman. And I don't know how long the wait was. She was just frustrated from waiting. But how long was that wait that she got mad? And she wasn't even the driver. So the driver, she's in the passenger seat. She gets out and comes to the window yelling about the wait. Gets frustrated, goes back to the car, gets a gun, comes in, reaches through the window, and just starts blasting. Now, luckily, none of the employees were hurt. They all ran out the back door. And they still haven't caught this person and her accomplice, the driver. But I'm like, how crazy do you got to be? I think you know, maybe she had been on something
gotta
or whatever. Because that's just crazy that it got to that level that you're attempted murder over a Whopper. Now, I've had the munchies. I've had the weed munchies. I've been starving before. Never been that hungry that I need to start shooting up a place because they haven't gotten to me before. You know, that's just insane.
My question is, so after the employees ran out the back, did she climb through the window and get her food or did they just drive off? Because what did you accomplish? You're still hungry.
Well, she accomplished getting herself on video and her picture's going around where people are trying to figure out who she is. So she's going to accomplish getting herself caught.
Oh, my God. Well, let's take it back down to Atlanta for this other bullshit. Actually, Marietta, Georgia. So right on the outskirts. of Atlanta, which, as I'm realizing, when you hear anybody talk about Atlanta and where to live in Atlanta, they talk about inside the perimeter and outside the perimeter. So this kind of sounds like Demolition Man to me, you know, when you think of the... And so Marietta's outside the perimeter, right? And the deal is that this guy had given us 2 weeks' notice. Mm-hmm. At this place he was working at, AOK, something or the other, dealing with cars, right? Through the first week of his 2 week notice, the manager's giving him hell. The owner's giving him just a hard time, so he leaves early. He's like, "All right, I'm done. I'm out. I'm done today." Leaves, but they owe him $915. So he keeps saying, "Hey, I need my money. I need my money. I need my last paycheck." They wouldn't give it to him. Wouldn't give it to him. So he files for it, and so. One day he comes out, and in his driveway is a pile of pennies. 90,000 pennies. So he got his $915 in pennies. These pennies were not just pennies. They were either soaked in oil or grease, so it made it very difficult and almost impossible to pick up. And the telling part of this was the note on the top of it that says, "Fuck you." So good news that comes out of this, though, is that Coinstar decided to step up, right? And Coinstar said that, you know, well, they've been dealing with coins for so long, they decided to collect the coins that he had. They rounded up what they paid him, which was $1,000, from $950 to $1,000. And then they also donated money to two of his charities, which were two animal shelters. Now, the interesting part about this, which I'm sure you will appreciate, is that the owner of the shop, said that he didn't know if he did or didn't drop the pennies off at the guy's house. He says, "I really don't remember. It doesn't matter. He got paid. That's all that matters." That's an extreme level of petty right there.
It is. It is. That is just straight petty. But unfortunately, he's right. He paid him. You know, and whether it was an oily pennies or a paper check, he got paid. So... Mm-hmm. There's really nothing legally that could be done. But the dude is petty. Dude is super petty. I think that's a hilarious story, personally. It would suck, but good job for Coinstar for stepping in. Because they were all oily, that's why he just couldn't go to a Coinstar on his own. Because I would have just done that. But yeah. It wouldn't go through the machine because they're all oily. Now, could he have like washed them and all that type of stuff, got the oil off? But I mean...
Well, he was spending a whole lot of labor every night trying to clean the pennies. Yeah. and think about this. He could have taken it to Coinstar, right? But first of all, I figured how many pounds that thing was. Like 500 pounds is how heavy that thing was, right? And Coinstar does tax you on it. They take a percentage of whatever when you dump the coins in it. So that's how they make money. The great thing for Coinstar is they realize that the $85 that they're going to give to him additional for the money, and plus what they weren't going to get off that $915 anyway, the advertising they're going to get from this is worth so much more. Plus, they get to write off what they give to charity anyway, and they get to do a good thing. And again, it's just more publicity. The fact that they did to animal shelters, oh my God, America love pets. So, therefore, Coinstar is the greatest right now.
Well, but I wonder, how does this really help Coinstar? Because I hate change.
Marketing.
I hate getting change. I hate getting change, right? So... is this going to motivate people to keep collecting change more and then going to Coinstar? Like, probably not.
Yeah, why not?
So, I don't understand how it, from a marketing standpoint, how does it help them? Because you would think it would drive more traffic to the Coinstar machines. But yes, again, a lot of people hate change. You know, there's always been talks about, you know, getting rid of the penny because it's pointless.
What do you do with your change then? What do you do with your change?
I hardly get change because I tend to either pay a card and use my debit card. And then if I'm at like a Starbucks and I get a coffee and I pay cash and whatever the coins are, that goes into the tip on top of the other 25%. But that goes into the tip. So I don't want to come home with change. And anytime I do have if I have like a two quarters and a nickel, I'm going to find a way to like give that in a tip. Sometimes at the gas station where it says need a penny, take a penny, I'll drop that right in there.
Well, listen here, you bougie bitch. Just because you are not taking the change home, you're leaving that change for the less fortunate and less bougie people than yourself, and they get that change in tips, what are they going to do with the change? They're going to take it to damn Coinstar. Again, you...
Or cash it out of the register at work. They don't have to go to Coinstar. They just swap it out of the register at work because the register always needs coins. And that way the manager doesn't have to go to the bank to get coins. So when I was a restaurant manager, I'd always have to buy certain many rolls of quarters, certain many rolls of dimes, nickels, pennies. Mm-hmm. And then I would want the servers to give me their coins because that leaves me saves me a step from having to go to the bank to actually buy rolls of quarters, rolls of nickels. Okay. So I'm just saying, I could be wrong. Maybe there are a lot of other people that gather coins, fill them up to go to Coinstar. But I just don't see how it to your point, I don't see what they gain. I mean, they could just be doing something nice out of the kindness of the heart, but I just don't see what they
the marketing
gain from it.
Take for instance, like me, I've got a big dish that I have at the house, and whenever I come in, I have change, I dump it in there, right? And then whenever I feel like it's heavy enough or it's full enough, I'll take it to Coinstar, do that. Or when I was in Charleston, I'd go to it used to be Heritage Trust, but now Rev Federal Credit Union, and I'd go ahead and they've got a machine in there. And the great thing is they don't take the money from you; they just put it straight in your account. So you shake that shit in there, and it sounds loud as hell, which sounds very unbank-like. But you know what? Whenever you can go in the bank and make some damn noise, and nobody's going to shut the hell up, then you go ahead and you do it. So, but for Coinstar, yes, that's what you would do. You would go ahead and you take it. And I used to do that all the time. Have these big jars, go to the store and do that. Just like the reason why you recycle, because you get this ticket that says you have this amount of money. You get back from your recycling, from your cans and your bottles, and you go in the store and you spend that and you get the discount on it. So, you know.
Well, good. Well, it sounds like Coinstar has a customer for life in you. So that's awesome. Great for Coinstar.
Oh my god.
Well, the other bullshit that we got to talk about is Bad Baby. Mm-hmm. So Bad Baby, for those that remember, she's the Catch Me Outside, How About That girl from the Dr. Phil show.
I didn't follow her.
Turned rapper, artist, and all that. I don't follow her either, but apparently a lot of people starting to follow her now because she just turned 18 and created an OnlyFans account, and within 6 hours racked up $1 million.
Are you surprised?
It's creepy as hell. Again, I don't understand the OnlyFans deal. Why you want to subscribe to that when porn's free? Mm-hmm. But the fact that all these people are waiting for this girl to turn 18, and now they can just keep an eye on what she does. It's just creepy. It's just creepy. I'm not knocking her for having OnlyFans. I think you do you. And anybody who doesn't like some of these people that are making money with OnlyFans, that's your fault. Create your own OnlyFans and do it yourself. Make your own money. But it is so weird that there's a lot of these people, and I'm sure it's mainly men a small percentage of women that would follow this little 18-year-old girl on OnlyFans and pay the subscription. It's just weird. But she broke the record. $1 million in 6 hours.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised by that because there are creepers out there. I mean, so Kylie Jenner had posted a picture of her in a swimsuit the other day on Twitter, and there was a guy, obviously an older gentleman, and he's like, I think I can speak for everybody, just starting OnlyFans already. And I'm like, how creepy do you sound? Do you know how creepy you sound right now? I mean... But and then people started roasting him about it because it's just like, yo, you creeper much, or, you know, but that's the kind of thing, because he's got to be like 40 something, right? But then again, he doesn't have much melanin, so he might actually just be 25.
yeah. Well, I guess the you should start an OnlyFans is the today's equivalent of getting his van, because that's just creepy to tell somebody that you should start an OnlyFans. So I could watch you and watch everything that you post. It's just creepy. But that's the thing about this OnlyFans deal. I mean, I think it's a great platform for especially people in the porn industry, because it takes the directors out of it and it gives the artists more control over their work. But the creep factor just gets bigger, you know, for this. And so hopefully these people really pay attention, because you got to understand, like, these creepers, It's not only just watching what you're doing, but you got to ask where you post, how you post. They start to figure out where you live. Like that show on Netflix, You, they'll figure out little pieces and put them together. And you could have a serious stalker situation, you know, on your hand. But so kudos for Bad Baby. You know, you made $1 million. Good for you. But wow, that's what this world's come to, where people are waiting for somebody to turn 18 so they could like start filing. So I thought I thought it was bullshit. Not her getting the money, just the fact that this many people signed up in 6 hours
for this 18-year-old. I'm just probably a little bit more surprised that people still remember who the hell she is and why she is in the first place. I had completely forgotten about that whole Cash Me Outside crap years ago, because that was all just for fame and clout anyway, and everything she's done since then has been that, and this is another thing. And of course, it's only going to... Again, I can't knock her for making the money. $1 million in 6 hours? I haven't made $1 million in 6 years, so I'm not mad at her for that at all. So kudos to you for that, and just beware of all the creepers that are stalking you now, and they will continue to, and that number's going to go up as they keep going, because there's some creepers out there, real creepers.
Yeah. Now, would you ever start an OnlyFans? Because OnlyFans is not just for people to do like porn. I mean, it's mm-hmm. other stuff that you can put on there. You could do cooking tips. You could do whatever. But would you ever start one?
I'd need some fans first. Otherwise, it would just be only me. And then I'll be like, well, let's only get out of here. What are we drinking? I'm drinking only water. That's what I'm toasting with today. What about
only,
you?
Still, only water. I mean, I kind of like the fact that we record now and
whatever you just
daytime.
Said, I couldn't hear. I unplugged my headphone. Go ahead again.
I was saying I kind of like the fact that we record during the daytime mm-hmm. because the times we record at night, you know, I couldn't go out to brunch. I couldn't mm-hmm. go out and do the fun day drinking because I knew we had to record. So now we do it during the day. That gives me plenty of time.
Yeah.
To just sit back and relax, do things I want. So I'm sipping water for right now, but next time there's a holiday or I'm off on Monday, it's going to be a game changer.
So, I mean, think of it. Right now, all we're doing is we're promoting healthy living. You're running again. I'm going to get back in the gym. I'm actually looking out in the parking lot at the gym, so that's cool. So
that's the first step.
Yeah, it is. I can see it. That's a good thing. It's the first step. The next step is to get there. And then the next thing is to actually work out. You know, go inside. Yeah. Then after that is to work out. It's in steps. It's a 12-step process, I've heard.
Yeah. You got a live vision board right outside your window where you're like, look at all these people doing burpees. That's awesome. One day I'm going to be there.
So we're promoting healthy living right now with water. If somebody wants to sponsor and come along, then we'll get back to the bourbon immediately. It doesn't matter what time of day. We'll not first thing in the morning. Shots.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, drink your water. As the weather changes, the weather's breaking around the country, make sure you drink your water. Drink as much as you can. If you're in the South like I am now, in the Southeast, especially when the pollen's up, which is something I hadn't been around, the southern snow, a.k.a. yellow pollen, you know, make sure you're drinking your water. Flush that crap out your system as fast as you can and you know, get your allergy medicine up. But... other than that,
hydrate.
Exactly. I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Remember to follow us at Yanni Root, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yes, send us some of your random thoughts and some of your bullshit. We'd love to talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers, brother.